Take your Bible, if you will, tonight to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin there. And so we'll try to get started there. It is a little warmer in here tonight. One of our air-conditioned units, I think Brother Kelly's finally figured out what's going on, though. So, and I talked to the air-conditioned man today, and he should be here before the week's out and get it going. One of these units not working tonight. Well, the unit's working good. It's just no blower. So when it does that, the unit freezes up and nothing happens. So, but anyway, hopefully that'll get going good. And you say, well, preacher's hot. Well, you stand there and fan, all right? I'm the one that's working. So I'll peel off the coat and preach to you a little bit tonight, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. I want to preach to you tonight. I've been trying to preach to you during Wednesday night about be wise. To be wise about things. And tonight I want to preach to you to be wise about priorities. Priorities. And I want you to look just honestly at the first four words of chapter 6 and verse 33. All right? The Bible said, but seek ye first. But seek ye first. I said, I want to speak to you on priorities. That word's not in your Bible. There's some folks that have a real problem with words that aren't in the Bible. And I've even heard of some guys that I've known in the past that, you know, they say, well, we don't believe it if it's not in the Bible. Well, you know, the word priority is not in the Bible, but the principle is there. And you just got to be blind not to see the principle, okay? It's there in a lot of places. And, for instance, right here, the Bible said, seek ye first. That indicates, okay, that some things are to take precedent or to have priority over other things, all right? There's some things that we're to give priority to. Having priorities helps us to keep first things first. First things first. I don't know about you, but I've had days where I had a list of things to do, and I'd get a lot done, but at the end of the day, I'd realize, you know, I didn't really probably get the most important thing done. Everything I got done needed to be done, but it wasn't the most important thing. So I've gotten a habit, if I've got a lot of those things, I'll try to make me a list. But at the top of the list, I try to put that thing that's the most important and say, I want to make sure that gets done. If nothing else gets done, I want to be sure that gets done. So having priorities helps us to keep first things first. It helps us to do the most important things, then followed by those items that have less importance. You know, it's kind of like going to the grocery store. You want to make sure you get the sausage, okay? You want to make sure. Now, if you leave off the broccoli, it's not going to be the end of the world, all right? But you want to make sure you get the steak, all right? You want to make sure you get the chicken, all right? You just, those kind of things, you want to do it now. So, hey, the truth of it is all of us have priorities. All of us have priorities in our life. And I don't think I need to stand here tonight and spend a long time talking to you about why they're important. Because I believe you understand that there's no doubt they're important. The truth of the matter is having the right priorities can determine whether you're successful or you're a failure. It can determine contentment or discontentment in life, satisfaction or disappointment, fulfillment or emptiness. Just getting the priorities, all right? Taking care of those things called priorities. One thing you find about priorities, they can change. They can change. As a matter of fact, as you grow older, they will change. Priorities will change, you know, things that you were just so adamant, were just so important. You get a little older, they're not that important, all right? Now, sadly, priorities can get warped by the world. And that's where we got to be careful, all right? Got to be careful. Now, I'm not going to try to preach tonight about everything that ought to be a priority in your life. To be honest with you, I just want you to look at three things with me, all right? Three things. And but there's a lot of ramifications from those three things. Proverbs chapter 15, if you would, And we'll just look at these three things. You listen fast. I'll preach fast. We'll go home, all right? Proverbs chapter 15, if you would. And look in verse 16. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. The Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Notice, better is little with the fear of the Lord. Listen, it ought to be a priority in our life that the relationship that we have with the Lord ought to be the priority. It just ought to be there, all right? I don't think it ought to be a priority. It ought to be the priority. The most important thing, all right? Somebody once asked Tom Landry why he had been successful in life, and he told this what he told him. He said, in 1958, I determined my priorities in life. God, family, and then football. God, family, and then football. I think about a lot of coaches in particular that put football at the top. And they lost their family. You know? And you wonder now, as they're older in life, they're no longer coaching anything. Now, they may be sitting in a beautiful home, but I wonder if it's not a little bit on the lonely side. You know, why? Well, they had the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. The truth of the matter is, we ought to stand in fear and in awe of our God. We ought to really look that way at Him. I remember the first time I ever went to the Grand Canyon. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I ever went, I probably stood there a while with my mouth hanging open. It's just an absolutely unbelievable sight. And you look at it and you think, my goodness, you know. It's amazing, really, what God's done right there. Now, I know it's taken Him millions and millions of years to do it. I'm being very sarcastic. I hope you understand that, all right? It didn't take Him that long. But, beautiful work, but it just causes a sense of awe to look at how huge it is. Look, our God ought to bring that kind of view and that kind of awe into us. We should never get to the point where we look at God, look at our Lord, in too familiar a way. We ought to always stand off. It ought to always be how amazing He is. Just amazing. Our God, all right? Now, all the things He's done, all that He's done for us, and we ought to give a priority to developing the relationship with Him. You say, why has it got to be so important? Because you giving the right place to your relationship with the Lord takes care of so many other things in life. It gives you the things that so many people want. For instance, there's nothing that'll give you stability in life like having the right relationship with God. Stability in life. The storms come, tragedies come, disappointments come. You're able to take it and just keep on going. Why? You've got the relationship with Him, and it gives you that kind of stability. David said it this way. He said, He picked me up out of a horrible pit, and He put my feet upon a rock, okay? He put my feet on a rock. It was a stable stance, a stable place to stand. He didn't put him on a rocking log in the water somewhere, okay? Put his feet on a rock. Stability. The right relationship, you get that right relationship with God, gives you that stability in life. He said, well, man, there's a lot of problems coming. Yep. You go through this life, there's a lot of storms. There's some of you folks here, you've gone through some things you never, ever figured you'd ever face in life. Never figured you'd face in life. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. You get through it with the right relationship with God. That's how you get through it. By the way, you don't build that relationship in the storm. You build the relationship before you get in the storm, all right? That's why I say the priority in our life or to have to be that, have that right relationship with the Lord, a close fellowship with Him. It'll help you to establish the values that you need to have for life. Give you that right relationship. It'll help you to establish those values. I use it this way as an illustration. Growing up in a good family with a good mom and dad that raised you and taught you, they gave you some values. They gave you some values. Now, some of you may have said, well, I didn't grow up in that kind of home. Yeah, and it was tough for you to develop the values you ought to have. It's tough to put them together. But, man, when you grow up in that situation and you have that right relationship with God, it helps us to establish the values of what is important and what we should take care of and the things we ought to deal with. How do we know? Well, we got the right relationship with Him. Got that right relationship with Him. Well, I'm not sure what to do. If you've got the relationship with the Lord that you should have, if you step out of line, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And I, by the way, I don't mean you've got to get deep into sin. I mean just taking that detour and you realize, boy, that's not right. That's not right. Why? You got that right relationship with God. You got that right relationship with Him. That right relationship with Him will help make all your other relationships better. All the rest of them better. You read in the Ten Commandments, and I think, if I've got this right, there's four of those commandments that really have to do with you and God. And they're that way. But those other ones have to do with you and other people. You and other people. It's hard for me to be right with other people if I'm not right with God. It's hard for me to have that right relationship with other people. It's hard for me to have the right relationship with my wife, if I'm not right with God. If I'm not right with God. But that relationship with Him, why it's such a priority, you get that relationship right, you keep the other ones right. Hey, not only that, it'll keep you headed in the right direction for life. It'll just keep you headed in the right direction for life. You will not have to spend a great deal of time dealing with problems. Why? Because you're already headed in the right direction in life. And if you're headed in that right direction in life, man, things keep going all right. Why? Keeps that right relationship with God. You keep that relationship. Work that relationship. Now you say, how in the world do I maintain it? Now, the truth of the matter is I could preach this point the whole time tonight. I'm not going to, but let me just say a few things. You say, how do I maintain that right relationship? Research. Research. I'm going to put it this way. Most of you in here are married. You've been married, all right? Now, how did you get in that situation? Well, I just woke up one day and I was married. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You found somebody you were interested in. You found somebody at some point, for some reason, you were interested in that individual. Now then what did you do?
Well, hello there, baby. It is your lucky day. I'm here for you.
Man, if you did that, I hope you got a right cross, all right? You know. No, you did some research. You did some research. You went and you found out, hey, what does he or she like? What does he or she enjoy doing? What do they enjoy doing? And you did that research, and then you began to work out your approach based on that research, all right? Somewhere down the line it was, hey, you found out what the interest was. I bought two tickets, to go see the Fort Worth Philharmonic Orchestra play. I can see the excitement ripple across the auditorium. None of you did that, huh? You didn't do that. My brother, he used to have season tickets to the Fort Worth Opera. And he did that for a long time. And in case some of you are wondering what's wrong with him, this is part of it, okay? Too much exposure to the wrong kind of stuff, all right? And he went, and he would take young ladies with him, and I thought, Lord, they must be just, you know, they like to suffer, okay? One time he couldn't get anybody to go, or he didn't, I don't know now the day, but he asked me, he said, you want to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, I truly enjoyed it. Those chairs are comfortable. And it's not too loud. And it's cool. And it's dark. Do I have to say anything else? Man, it's comfortable in there, all right? I'd wake up at intermission. It's all right. I heard a little bit of it. But hey, you did your research. Hey, can I say this too? You want the right relationship with God? Need to do your research. Need to find out what is he like? What does he want? What is he like? What does he want? And then you need to do those things. Why? Because I want the right relationship with him. The right relationship with him. I was concerned. And then it takes time. It takes time. You have to spend time with those people. Man, when you were courting, you were dating, you were trying to talk that person into marrying you, you spent time. Some of you invested time on the phone. And you would spend hours on the phone listening to one another breathe. Because there couldn't have been that much to say. It's impossible. And so there you were, all right? Just on there, you spend time. And there's time spent together. My wife, bless her heart, she went to the bookstore with me multitudes of times, all right? You said the bookstore, that's an exciting place, folks. There's all kinds of stuff in the bookstore. And so we'd go to the bookstore, all right? When I was young and I was dating, I found everything you could find to do in Fort Worth that was free. You said, you cheapskate. No, I was broke. I didn't have any money. It wasn't I was cheap. I had no money, all right? So I found everything you could do that was cheap. Man, in those years, now things have changed, but in those years, all the car shows were free. You go to the auto show, you didn't have to pay a dime. You go to travel shows, and man, we went to travel shows. Didn't cost anything. Didn't cost anything. So I'd go to them, you know. I even went to RV shows and looked at RVs. You want one? Not really. But it was something to do. We could spend time together, all right? It was an excuse to spend time together. We do that. Hey, that's what you need to do. You want the right relationship with God? Spend some time with him. Spend some time with him. You know, hey, you say, how do we do that? Well, one thing, it includes Bible reading, but not altogether that. It includes church attendance. It includes church attendance. The Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So we're here, we enjoy the fellowship of one another, but man, I want that fellowship with the Lord too during this time. Spend time with him. Spend time in prayer. Just talking to the Lord. Why? Because I want the right relationship with him. Third thing, work at it. Work at it. Man, when you were dating, you worked at it. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. A lot of people get in trouble when they get married because they quit working at it. They quit working at it. Well, I don't have to do. I heard years ago somebody say, if you do the same thing to keep them that you did to catch them, you'll keep them longer. You know, just do that. Just work at it a little bit. Well, I don't need to do it now. Here we are, we're married. Wait a minute. I don't need to do it now. I'm saved. Hey, wait a minute. Work at that relationship. Work at that relationship. There ought to be a priority. You talk about the priority in your life ought to be your relationship with the Lord. But there's another priority you ought to have. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Keep your place here in chapter 15, but go back to chapter 4, would you? Chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Now, remember, hold that place and go back to chapter 15. Then I want you to go to look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 16. We're talking about making a priority out of wisdom. Verse 16 says this, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? You say, preacher, we don't believe that. Most people don't. But the Bible says it's better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Hey, what are you saying? The Bible puts a higher priority on wisdom. Yes, sir. High priority on wisdom. We need to work at it. It's the principal thing. The principal thing. That's what the Bible says. That means it's got some priority. This wisdom, when we talk about wisdom, I don't want you to think of some guy with this long beard, you know, sitting somewhere with a hum in the background. No, it includes what we call common sense and discernment. Discernment. If you've got good common sense and good discernment, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about wisdom. Man, it is so lacking in so many people. I've said it before, teenagers are notoriously lacking. That's why they make all the entertaining videos you see online. Because they don't have any wisdom. And man, they come up bruised and battered and in pain. But for us, looking at it from our perspective, we're laughing. That wasn't funny to them then, though. Before we, you know, pat ourselves on the back, we did it too when we were young. We did it too when we were young. All right? Now, wisdom, though, is that thing. Just common sense, discernment. Wisdom keeps you in your life from a whole lot of trouble. Whole lot of trouble. I've seen people get in so much trouble with the law just from a lack of wisdom. Just no common sense. Thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to get caught. Yeah, that's a famous last word. But that wisdom helps us to avoid the mistakes that so many make. And the mistakes that are so costly in life. So costly in life. Have you ever done something, and right after you did it, you thought, you know, I wish I could go back and change the last 5 minutes of what I just did. If I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be the way I am now. Man, there's people that, you know, have had all kinds of accidents. Why? Because they didn't use any wisdom. None of it. But it's such a good thing. We need to make it a priority in our life that we get wisdom, that we go after it. Now, the problem, I think, one of the great problems we face here is most people value money a lot more than we do wisdom. We value that green folding stuff way more than we do wisdom. And that's why folks who develop relatively quick riches are just as quick to lose it. Man, how many times have we heard of people made big money? Maybe some athlete. Boy, they were a professional athlete. They hit the news, and they hit their field of endeavor. They hit that sport big time. They made a huge splash, and we read about the big contracts they were given, and they were there for just a few years, and then a few years later, we're hearing they're broke. And folks like us, we look at it and go, how in the world you spend that much money? Well, the problem is, money was their priority, but they had no wisdom to go with it. So they lost it, man. They lost it. I'm flabbergasted at the amount of people that have won huge amounts of money in the lottery and then are broke a few years later. And then you begin to hear how it was spent. And you go, what? We want to say, what were you thinking? But we immediately realize they weren't thinking. Had no wisdom whatsoever. I mean, they just go shell it out, throwing wild parties, and oh man, drugs were flowing, or the booze was flowing, and all kinds of things. Buying one car after another, you know, and just craziness. Hey, no wisdom. No wisdom. Some people never get ahead because they don't have any wisdom. They don't have any wisdom. And it's not because they grew up in poverty, because we know some people grew up in poverty and they do great. But you know other ones that grew up in poverty, they do terrible. Why? I never picked up any wisdom anywhere. You need to make wisdom a priority. You said, well, how do I do that? Well, seek for it. Search it out. Then hang on to it when you find it. Seek it out. You said, well, how am I going to do it? Well, one of the places, you find a lot of wisdom in the Bible. You said, Richie, you keep going back to that. Well, God gave it to us, all right? He gave it to us for a reason. And I can imagine we're standing in front of him at judgment and said, Lord, I just made some mistakes. I didn't know what to do. And he said, well, I gave you the book. Did you read it? Well, now, hard time reading. Yeah, and you grew up in the day when you could have somebody read it to you. But it's just an excuse. But not only that, you ought to get it from life's experiences too. Now, you know, you ever watch people repeat the same dumb mistake? Just the same dumb mistake, and they keep doing it. And you go, what's wrong with them? Now, I'll be honest with you, I would much rather learn from my brother's mistake. I was the younger brother, he was the older brother. I'd rather learn from his mistake. I can tell you some things, I'm not going to, but there was one time in life where he got in some big time trouble, and now it was a little bit, I don't want you to think the wrong thing about him, all right? He's a pretty bad guy, but I don't want you to think the wrong thing about him. He did something he shouldn't have done. He had no idea it was going to do what it did. But man, I learned from his mistake. I've never been tempted to do it. And that's been 65 years ago, probably. 65 years ago. I learned from his mistake, never been tempted. Never been tempted. And if I'm talking to you, and you tell me about what you do, and what happened, I'm going to learn from your mistake. I'm going to learn from your mistake. I've got a knife at home, if I could find it. It's somewhere in that collection of priceless treasures I own that I used. And I thought I'd seen people, I don't even know how to describe. Some of you people are a lot better, most of you better mechanics than I am. But I think I remember Brother Minyard using a screwdriver to touch these two things and it start the car, all right? Touch these two not on the battery, but up here. And so one time I didn't have a screwdriver, so I said, I'm going to use my knife blade, all right? Well, it sort of worked, but man, it took a big chunk out of that knife blade, all right? And if you ever open it up and see it, hey, there it is. That was his mistake, you know? Well, I learned. I never ruined but one knife doing something like that, all right? You learn from mistake. Get that wisdom. Get wisdom. Pay attention. You can listen on television news, and even with having to pick through what's true and what's not, you can still learn from other people's mistakes. You can learn. Hey, get wisdom. Make it a priority. Make it a priority. Lastly, this evening, look in chapter 16 of Proverbs again. Now, this one's going to surprise you, I think, all right? Because this one you're not going to be thinking about. I want you to notice what chapter 16, verse 19 says. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In this day of pride and arrogance and selfishness, I think it's important that we think about our attitude. Our attitude. Humility, humbleness, is an attitude, okay? Better it is to be of an humble spirit, to have that humble spirit. That's what God's people ought to have. That is exactly what we ought to have. Why? Because that spirit recognizes that all that is good that we have comes from God. All that we have that is good, it comes from God. It's not because we're so wonderful, we're so special, or we're so talented. It's because God has blessed us. And with that humble spirit, we never get puffed up within ourselves. We never get to thinking too much of how great we are. All right? And if you can keep yourself from thinking you're so great, it'll help you not to get in a position where you look down on other people. On other people. I mean, where even the Bible said to have that lowly spirit, that humble spirit with the lowly. All right? Those people that are not high class, those people that are maybe in the lower class, those people that other people will look down on. And say things about. The right spirit in us keeps us from doing that kind of thing. And it keeps us from thinking I'm better than he is. I'm better than she is. The truth is, we're no better. You may live better. You may live closer to God, but you're just a sinner just like they are. God help us that we'd put a priority on keeping a humble spirit within ourselves. That we never get pumped up and puffed out, you know, and thinking, well, I'm great. I'm great. That verse even there talking about with the lowly instead of dividing the spoil with the proud, That speaks of learning to be content with what God's given us. Whether it's we're rich or poor or somewhere in between. Just to be content with what God's done. God help us to have that kind of humble spirit about us. I guess one of the most aggravating things that we have to deal with from time to time in school is kids. And it's usually not one, it is usually two or three or more that get together and begin to talk down somebody else. And begin to look down on somebody else in school and begin to get the idea we're better than they are. Man, you talk about infuriate. It infuriates me when kids do that. And I like to get in that situation and get them in the office and get them and get going over them real good. And usually I like to pull out the Bible, toss it on the desk and say, find it right in there where it says okay for you to do what you're doing. Go ahead, I'll give you all the time you want to look. When you do that, you see them shrink away from it. They know they're wrong. God help that to never occur to us. Never occur, all right? The truth of the matter is that First Baptist Church, anybody and everybody, ought to be welcome. Doesn't mean we approve of what you do. Doesn't mean we approve of what you do. Look, if you come in with pink and neon green and blue hair, and it is stuck up like that, and you've got as much metal hanging off of a person as can hang off of them. And you've got all of that kind of stuff going on. That person ought to be welcome here. Now, does it mean we approve? No. Does it mean we think, well, that's the right way to live? No. You know, and you may drive into the parking lot and your car be pulsing because of the music that's blaring out of it, but you ought to be welcome here. Do we approve of what you're doing?
No.
No? Not hadn't our okay to anything, but we're glad you're here. No better than you are. Nobody's better than that person. Hey, we ought to have that kind of humility about us. Look, if you will, over in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. There is a marvelous promise. Marvelous promise to those who will develop and display this thing called humility. Matthew 23, verse 12, the Bible says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Now, the Bible said, you exalt yourself, the Lord knows how to put you down. But he said, if you'll humble yourself, he knows how to exalt you. You won't have to do it yourself. He can do it for you. Man, it's so much better to humble yourself than it is to have God to do it for you. So much better. You know, I've told people multitudes of times, God has no trouble keeping me humble. Because I do some real dumb things. I mean, just things happen. I've tried to play the piano and enjoy trying to play the piano. I was playing for a men's meeting over at Trinity Baptist Church. And there was men there from dozen, 15 churches, I guess. Brother Reed's leading the singing. He's given me the page number and what we're going to sing. And I know it. And so he calls out the number, and I played the introduction to the song. And just as I got through at the end of the introduction, I realized I just played the introduction to a different song than we were fixing to sing. And I was staring at the wrong page. Now, I just want you to know, whatever you think of my piano talents, they're not good enough to wing it very much. But that night I thought, I'm just going to have to wing it. Now, the only thing saved me at all, it just so happened that I was in the same key. The song I played the introduction to was in the same key as the song I was supposed to play the introduction to. So at least they were in the same key, all right? And so I went ahead and tried to stay up. Man, about halfway through the verse, I said, forget it, I can't do this. I stopped playing. They were singing. They were now singing a cappella, all right? And I'm over here flipping the pages trying to find the right page. He said, what'd you do? Well, I wanted to crawl under the piano, all right? But, man, there it is. There it is. I sing a little bit. Singing at a wedding one time, right here. Guy was playing the organ. I was standing right over there by the organ. He played the introduction, and I started singing, Our Father, which art in heaven. The only problem was, he was in one key, and I was in a different one. So he's playing, doing this. I'm looking at him thinking, I'm trying to get with you. I'm trying my best to get in the same key you're in. I never got there. Never did. When I finished, I was in my key. He was in his key. He said, what'd you do? Well, God's good to people. I went out after that wedding. I had somebody come up to me and say, man, that song was beautiful. I said, thank you very much. I then said to God, thank you for tone-deaf people. Man, I mean, God, I've sung the wrong words when I was singing. God keeps me humble, all right? But it's a good thing to put a priority in life. Keep yourself humble. Boy, we ought to humble ourselves before our God. Keep ourselves that way. Now, let me just ask you tonight, what are your priorities in life? Are they really of great importance, or do they simply make you feel good for a while? You know? What where do you put your priorities? They're very important. And you say, well, preacher, you left out some good thing, big thing. You said, why didn't you say anything about your family and the priority of your family, your wife, your children? I'll tell you, because if your relationship with the Lord is right, it'll keep those relationships right. You can't be right with God and neglect your spouse and neglect your family. You're just not right with God if you do that. Hey, by the way, you can't be right with God and neglect your church. You're not right with God if you lay out of church. Now, I've stood and talked to people that said, you don't have to go to church to worship God. Now, but you do have to if you want the right relationship with Him. That's His business. Hey, what about your priorities? Okay? What about your priorities? Not somebody else's. Yours. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? I want you to take a look. I want you to think about it. What's really of number one importance in your life?